Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
We are going to talk about something real personal. We're going to be talking about women's health. We're going to be talking about common vaginal infections. We're doing that with our amazing Dr. Cynthia Wesley. She is a board certified OBGYN doctor right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's a best-selling author. She's going to tell us all about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we interviewed not long ago with two of our friends. And I said, I got to get Dr. Cynthia back on because vaginal health is, I'm no doctor, but I think a lot of things go under radar because we feel like, well, I'll just let this pass. Let's just see.
So happy we're having this discussion because it's a discussion that's needed and well overdue.
When you talk about vaginal health, many of the moms and grandmas, I mean, they had their own cures, right? Are there some new infections on the scene since great-grandma?
In general, there's not new infections. Sometimes we can develop resistance to some common treatments because we are inadequately treating the initial infection. I think that the bigger issue is what we're able to talk about. When we talk about our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, for so many of us, they just told us to keep our legs closed and keep it super clean, right? And sometimes keeping it super clean can actually work against you because you're doing too much down there and actually making yourself more prone for infection. So we have to really start having better dialogue about vaginal health.
And that first conversation is, I mean, there's so many conversations we need to have with our young girls. No one touching your body without your permission is enough. There's so many conversations. When should we take our teen in?
Well, when we do pap smears, it's changing. And the pap smear itself is just the screening test for cervical cancer. And that's when they put the speculum in and use that little brush to get the cells off the surface of the cervix to check. And right now for teens, we're not even doing pap smears anymore. However, they do need pelvic exams. Now, my recommendation is when a young lady starts her period, which is her first step or rite passage into womanhood, I recommend for them to go in and have a conversation with the gynecologist. That does not mean that they would get a pelvic exam, but we have to do better as far as opening the doors of communication where they are truly comfortable with their bodies, comfortable talking about their bodies, and knowing that they always have a safe place to go if they have questions or if something has happened that is against their will or just something going on that they're not really sure if that's normal or not.
So I can definitely say telling your mom that you started on your period, I don't know why that's so hard. Why is that so hard?
Well, I think it's hard because we're not talking about it enough. And we really should be prepping our young ladies to first understand their own anatomy, allow them to be comfortable using proper words, proper terminology. We love to call it, oh, your pocketbook or this or that. And those terms are cute. But sometimes it creates an atmosphere where it adds to the shame of really addressing your most powerful intimate space. So I think at a young age, we should teach our young girls that this is your vulva, which is the outside, and your vagina, which is the inside. Boys' anatomy is different, but this is girls' anatomy, and this is what it is. My daughter is 6 years old, and she knows her anatomy.
Wow. Do you have a book on that? I guess there's books
it's
out there.
It's coming. It's coming. Yes.
But you did write a book.
Moms first, right? With the adults first. And then when we're more comfortable, then I'll be launching a book for the younger generations. There'll be a separate book for our very young ladies and then our teens.
All right. Here comes some big words, Doc. Tell me if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Ureoplasma. What in the world is it? And did I say it okay?
Yes, you said it correctly. To break it down to layman's term, is yet another bug that often we can find in the vagina. Okay. And it really is an infection when we get an overgrowth of these bugs, which it then in turn can cause yeast infections, bacterial vaginosis, things of that nature. And I mentioned earlier about keeping it super clean and how that can work against us. Sometimes if we're doing too much, we're actually getting rid of the good bugs that are there to keep the bad bugs from coming in, right? And so that's why it's important that we have super open dialogue simply about daily habits of washing and keeping clean. Because if you think about it, when you go in for your annual exam, we're so busy getting through that medical checklist that often there's really not a lot of time to talk about the basics. And okay, basics starts with basic hygiene. What's normal? What's abnormal? What can you do? What you can't do? Even how often should I be changing out my washcloths, my loofahs, and all those things? We need to have dialogue about it.
Oh, here's a good one, right? Because we're using the same soap on our face that we use on our body and the lower part of our body. Some of that soap burns our eyes, but we just wash our private area with it. But if it doesn't burn, it's okay, right?
Not necessarily. Sometimes, depending on the soap, it could make you more prone for bacterial vaginosis or even yeast. It just depends. So in general, women can wash with a mild soap or with water. Now, I recommend a mild soap and not just water. Now, granted, you don't need to put anything on the inside. The vagina is a self-cleaning organ. But on the outside, we have the same sweat glands on our external genitalia, okay, that we have under our armpits. So I ask women, do you only use water under your armpits? Right.
I have to bring up douches. That's not a bad word. FCC likes that word. Douches, All kinds of commercials about douches. You want to smell like springtime or wintertime? And we thought, well, that's a good idea. Let's get some of that.
Right. So we should not be douching. There's no way any woman should be inserting anything to clean out the vagina, okay? The vagina, and I'm only talking about the inside, is a self-cleaning organ. When you start injecting different sorts of water that are, if it's with a scent or not, even if it's just vinegar water, okay, it can still wash away the body's natural flora. The body has good bugs in there, and there's a certain combination, a certain mix. Our pH is expected to be in a certain range, and all of that keeps the vagina healthy. So when you go putting things inside of the vagina, you disrupt your natural flora, that natural environment, and it can make you more prone for infection. Okay. Now, you mentioned something else. You can smell like springtime or wintertime, and nowadays, you need to stay away from anything that has a fragrance. Fragrance is bad. Well, that's kind of too much of a generic term. All fragrances aren't bad. I do a whole chapter in my book. My book is called Beauty Below, A Guide to Intimate Wellness and Beauty for Dark Skin. And I do an entire chapter on product selection guide. Because you go into your local store and you have this long aisle with all these products to choose from, right? And you're like, oh, well, this says it's sulfate free. This is fragrance free. This has no HMGOs, all these things. How do you know who to listen to, what to listen to? Is it okay for me to use it? Is it not? So I go through all of that in that particular chapter. And within that chapter, I'll talk about fragrance. Every fragrance isn't bad. So in the beauty industry, you have to call it a fragrance if it's any ingredient that's added to a product after the product is finished to change the smell. Okay? Now, there are what I like to call high quality fragrances, such as vanilla, right? There's nothing wrong with vanilla. It's not going to hurt the vagina. But if it's added to the product after the product is finished, simply to change the scent, then you have to say on that product that that's a fragrance, right? Now, you can have other ingredients that are inside of the original product that can't affect the smell, but they were already part of the original formula, all right? They can say that that particular product is fragrance-free, but that don't mean it's healthy.
Ding, ding, ding. I am so anxious to ask this next question, and I'm sorry if I cut you off. Tampons, Kotex, these types of things. I mean, if you say nothing should go in the vagina, what are tampons doing on the market?
Well, when I say nothing, like we should not be inserting fluids and things of that nature, it's perfectly okay to use tampons. Okay. And I even talk about that in the book, because there's just so much, even when it comes to tampons, that no one's really talked to us about. You know, a lot of people were scared to use tampons for one of two reasons. Either A, your mom, your grandma, your auntie said you can't use it because if you're using tampons, then you're being grown and that means you must be having sex, right? That's not the case. You can use tampons even if you're not having sex. And the big thing, all women were concerned about toxic shock syndrome, right? And so they were paranoid about using tampons, or you can't use them at night, you know, because you'll wake up in the morning with toxic shock syndrome. That's not really the case. I talk about it in the book as well. And when they saw the toxic shock, it was with these high absorbency tampons, which aren't even on the market anymore. So in general, tampons are safe to use, but you need to use it in a proper hygienic fashion. So I talk about the frequency in which you should change your tampons out, that you can use them at night, but you know, you need to insert right before you go to bed, take it out as soon as you get up. But there are lots of little things that we just don't talk about that women need to know.
You know, we just need to have that talk with our kids. And if and we're not comfortable and then we don't have time, and then it's like, oh, I stated it the wrong way, or, you know,
yes,
your husband doesn't, you know, agree with it. He's putting in his 2 cents. Mm-hmm. It just needs to be one message. If you're just not tuning in, we have got our new best friend back. It's Dr. Cynthia. Dr. Cynthia is a best-selling author of Beauty Below, A Guide to Intimate Wellness and Beauty for Dark Skin. Did I get it right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Awesome. Dr. Cynthia Wesley is a board certified OBGYN doctor right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Two things women are curious about regarding their vagina. What would it be? The topics are vast.
I think one of the question I get asked a lot is, how do I stop this bacterial vaginosis? Women suffer with bacterial vaginosis. Black women are 3 times more likely to be diagnosed with bacterial vaginosis, or what we simply call BV, than other women. We suffer with it. We're always struggling with treating. We've been told, oh, you need to quit having sex so much, or maybe it's your partner. All these things. Well, don't use anything with fragrance. Don't do this. Don't do that. And a big study was done at the University of Pittsburgh. And what they found is that bacterial vaginosis is tied to vitamin D deficiency.
Oh.
If you treat the vitamin D, you won't keep having BV. It's really that simple.
Say it one more time.
If you treat the vitamin D, you won't continue to have the BV.
I love it. Hashtag.
It's simple, right?
Yeah.
So another big question that a lot of women ask is about pineapples. I get that all the time.
About what?
Pineapples. If I eat pineapples, can I change the smell down there?
I just saw that video this weekend. Is it true?
Well, if you eat a bowl of pineapples for lunch today, think that your smell is going to be different tonight. No, ma'am. It will not be different. However, what we eat does impact our smell. And I have within the book a smoothie, a vagina smoothie, that's very healthy for the vagina. Yes, it does include pineapples. And if women use the smoothie at least 3 times a week as a meal replacement, maybe for breakfast, something of that nature, they do see a difference in the smell. Okay. I like to equate vaginal health to gut health. And if you're focused on your probiotics, making sure that you're eating healthy, things of that nature, just like it can affect your gut, it can affect your vagina. There are some vegetables that are very healthy for us, but the smell, it can impact the vagina, okay? So I like to call them the stinky veggies. And they're like asparagus. Asparagus is very healthy, but it can impact the smell down there in a negative way. So those are just little things to keep in mind. And hydration is key. If you're dehydrated, any smell that you have will be more pronounced.
Got it. And I hate to say this on air, but we've all had that one older great aunt. Mm-hmm. Does age affect how we smell down there?
It can. And we talk about in the book, the changes of the vulva and the vagina over time. Okay. And when we enter that perimenopausal phase and then menopause, our estrogen level drops. And when our estrogen level drops, our pH of the vagina increases. All right. We want our vagina to be slightly acidic. We want that low pH that keeps the bad bugs away and all that. So when you're going through all those changes and that pH starts to climb because your estrogen is dropping, it can make you more prone for bacterial vaginosis. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just something to check. And all women should be having their vitamin D level checked when they go in for their annual exams for a multitude of reasons. But if you're struggling with, you know, I just showered, why do I have a smell down there? Make sure that you've checked your vitamin D level.
Got it. That is so valuable. I can keep you here all morning. Having five more minutes with you, how can we make this show so amazing than it already is? If you're just not tuning in, we have our board certified OBGYN fabulous one. It is Dr. Cynthia Wesley. She's a best-selling author too. Beauty Below, A Guide to Intimate Wellness and Beauty for Dark Skin. What else don't you do? You do everything.
Well, you know, I'm a vulvar skin specialist. And as a general OBGYN, there are so many facets to what we do. And I like to concentrate on below the waist. And other than my book, Beauty Below, if people want to purchase a signed copy of the book, they can go to beautybelowbook.com, beautybelowbook.com. I have an intimate skincare product line called Beauty Below that will be launching very soon. Women can go to beautybelowmd.com to be placed on the waiting list, to be notified of all launch activities and all that great stuff.
Oh, that's good to know. This is like a good gift, right? A sweet 16 birthday gift.
Yes. Yes.
A rite of passage.
I take care of all the women from young to mature.
We can go now. Beautybelowmd.com. Dr. Cyn, that's CYNOBGYN.com. Social media. Get Dr. Cyn OBGYN. She's everywhere. Savoir faire. She's saving vaginas one at a time. Yay. We can go to beautybelowbook.com if we want a signed copy of this amazing book. Thank you so much. If there were some closing remarks, what would they be?
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
That's the key.
Communication is everything, right?
Everything.
And you are too. I want to thank you.
Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.